Welcome to Casual Fridays with me, Jerry Davich, and Karen Walker and Dan Clark. Do you remember attending the midnight showing of the Rocky Horror Picture Show in your younger days? Well, the cult classic film from the 70s is still playing across the country, including at the Art Theater right here in Hobart, beginning again this weekend. On today's show, we'll chat with the theater's manager, John Davey, who also happens to be one of the diehard Shadowcast fans who still dresses up in campy costumes to honor the movie. Why? How? With who? We'll tell Lakeshore listeners in a few minutes. We'll also venture into Barry Manilow's announcement that he's gay. Really? Barry's gay? Why now? We'll wonder about that. Karen and I also will explore the four-word confessional from an Academy Award-winning movie that many of us may relate to in our lives. The words are, I can't beat it. Maybe you've heard it. All that and more on today's Casual Fridays, right after these brief news headlines. Stay tuned, fans. Be right back.
Oh, it's Casual Friday.
Casual Friday, what does that mean?
That means we just dress like we would at home.
But you're not at home.
No, but it's just Casual Friday, so.
Yeah, I know, and you told me that already. What do you do on Casual Friday?
Well, we just come in, do our work, but we dress casually.
I don't like it.
Well, it's just one day of the week.
I don't give a damn if it's half a day a week. I don't like it.
You're getting better and better.
I'm getting better.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davich, me, Karen Walker, and him. That's Dan Clark. Our show on the Lakeshore is supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage where it matters most.
Yep. Welcome back to Casual Fridays, folks. If you miss any part of today's show, it's re-aired 7 o'clock tonight, meaning you probably won't miss a thing. Also, it's posted online, lakeshorepublicradio.org. You can find all of our previous shows, including ones like today that offer Lakeshore listeners kind of a buffet. Of hot issues, local concerns, and kind of frivolous nothings in a way, too.
Do you remember attending the midnight showing of the Rocky Horror Picture Show in your younger days?
Yes.
I never did, but that's okay.
I can't believe you.
Well, the cult classic film from the 70s is still playing across the country, including at the Art Theater in Hobart, beginning again this weekend.
That's right, starting this weekend. On today's show, we'll chat with the theater's manager, John Davey, who also happens to be one of the diehard Shadowcast fans, who still dresses up in the costumes to honor the movie. Why and how and who else does it? We'll tell Lakeshore listeners in just a few minutes.
And we'll also venture into Barry Manilow's announcement that he's gay. Really? Barry? What?
I'm a fan of Lo. Are you a fan of Lo?
I'm a fan of Lo, but not so much anymore, you know. But why now? Why not decades ago when the rest of the world already knew? Jerry's writing about this tender subject, and we'll touch on it, too.
Yes, you will. Karen and I also will explore the four-word confessional from an Academy Award-winning movie that many of us may relate to in our lives. The phrase is, I can't beat it. I wrote about this, and I think it's interesting that so many people, when I'm thinking about it, in my circle of friends or orbit of acquaintances, you could see it in their eyes. Mm-hmm. They can't beat it. Whatever right. It might be, they can't beat it. So I'm writing about it. We'll talk about it on today's show.
And Jira will read his column today in the Post-Tribune on grief, which can be a lonely mourner. It's an intimate emotion that prefers solitude and reflection. Yet too often it gets revealed in public, despite our best attempts to conceal it.
Yep, this ran in today's Post-Tribune, and I'll read parts of it on today's show. Also, I'll reveal some intriguing things that readers and listeners have whispered to me, yes, whispered usually, after my book signings for my new book, Crooked Politics, Northwest Indiana. Everyone seems to have a related story of crooked shenanigans in our region.
All that and more on today's show. If you want to join in the discussion or offer a counter view to ours, feel free to call in at 769-9577.
Yep, call anytime you'd like. Also, we'll make a mention. Mm-hmm. Last week's show, we had Hammond Mayor Tom McDermott
we
Jr.
Did.
Inside the Casual Friday studio.
Yes,
and what
he was
really
a great
well.
Sport.
He was a great sport. A lot of listeners and my readers got a hold of me. They enjoyed listening to it because it gave you a peek of a mayor who they thought they knew.
Exactly.
And I got a few texts and emails from people saying, hey, I really thought I knew who the Hammond Mayor was.
I didn't know some of the stuff he said.
Yeah, one of the biggest surprises is that he was a big Hamilton fan.
Oh,
and he likes
I know.
Stage
he had a
musicals.
Hamilton t-shirt on.
Yeah, so
everything.
That was, just for an example, that's one of the twists.
Yeah,
so
that was
so
great.
Next week, 1 week from today, we invited Gary Mayer, Karen Freeman Wilson to be out inside the Casual Friday
yeah,
studio.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
And we will barrage her with similar questions,
yes.
More than Gary and the city and the typical rhetoric
yeah,
that she kind of
yeah.
says and
these
she has
are,
to
these
say.
These are fun questions. We've had three people inside the Casual Friday studio, and all three of them have said, like, wow, this is really fun. No one's ever asked me these questions before.
Yeah, we had the Hammond Mayor. We had Bishop Donald Hine.
Mm-hmm.
And
Spiro
Spiro Batistastos.
Batistastos.
From the South Shore Convention Authority. Right, exactly. So either way, next week's show, Gary Mayer, Karen Freeman Wilson will be here. She's booked it. And to book with her, is you have to go through like two different people.
Yeah.
And
so
they send me three reminders.
Really, really
it's really
thing.
Funny.
Wow.
We very appreciate her time.
It's a big deal.
I guess
it is
a big
deal because she'll probably come in, answer the questions, and be gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Choked her off. Wow.
I know.
But that's fine. So, we did make a mention in the intro about talking about Barry Manilow. I mean, I make a mention because it was kind of just tongue-in-cheek humorous for anybody who heard it. That's the big joke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like maybe Rock Hudson when he finally, you know, we determined that Rock Hudson was gay, so to speak. But it's Barry Manilow. And we all kind of assumed and knew, and all of his Fanilow fans knew he was gay, no big deal, whatever. And he's 73 years old.
He's
and
been married, I guess, for 3 years now.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
And he's been with, I believe, his manager for 39 years.
Wow.
I read that.
Wow.
So almost 4 decades together. Mm-hmm. And after all this time, and, you know, it's kind of like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, is he just plugging something? Is that really why?
Was he really worried that his female fan base at the,
I mean,
age,
that's so
the ripe
stupid.
Old age of 70?
Exactly.
Would be like, oh.
I still want them to want me, you know, and if they knew I'm gay, then I'd never be the same again.
Yes.
It's like, come on.
That's the whole point. So I don't understand exactly why, but it's kind of funny, and he got his name out, didn't he? And if he's plugging any kind of an album for whatever reason, nothing needs the money or attention.
I don't think so. I mean, Barry Manilow is such an iconic person. I mean, he's gone beyond someone that has to stay in the limelight. He'll always kind of be there. He represents almost like a genre of music, or when you think of like the
70s. Love-making music.
Well, I was going to
go there. For gay men in their 70s.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you think of the 70s, one of the things you think of is Barry Manilow. I mean, he had a huge...
Sure.
Peaked in the 70s, I believe, with Coco Cabana. And
oh, is that his? I was trying to think of like
Mandy,
what songs he did that were big.
I write the song.
I'm not a big fan.
Oh, no. Well, you're Coco. So young, hon.
I don't know
how
who this
is. How would
you
know Barry Manilow?
The 70s were in the history books for Dan. That's it.
Yeah, that's
where
that's
he finds
it.
The 70s.
But I just think, you know.
There we go.
Is this Coco Cabana?
I believe so.
Oh,
we'll
okay.
See.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, he was huge.
He's an icon.
I mean, he really, really was. So I don't understand why he picks now, because there was a reader, I don't know if you're going to mention him, that was very disappointed that he came out now.
Really?
Yeah, very upset.
Didn't faze me one way or the other.
Didn't lose any sleep over it?
The reader who contacted me, I still want to write about this. His name is Kenneth, and he was upset because he thought Barry could have done a lot of good for a lot of gay men, especially back 20, 30 years ago.
That makes sense.
Like coming out then.
I understand that.
And he could have helped their cause a little bit.
Yes,
so he's kind of mad in a way at Barry for coming out now.
I can totally see that.
He doesn't matter anymore, so to speak. But back then when it could have mattered,
right.
He didn't do it.
Right.
It definitely would have made a bigger impact if he would have come out around the time this was a hit as opposed to now that he's 70 and it's really not a big deal at all.
Granted, yes, he did have a very huge female following, but that was way more important than being your authentic self.
I guess
and
it
you
was.
Know what? Now that I'm on a roll here, you know how much plastic surgery that guy's had?
Quite a bit, I could tell by looking at
him. Authentic self, my elbow. He is not an authentic person, and I don't care who listens. And I did.
It was
really
a different
like
climate back then, though. I could see, so
yeah,
there was a fear.
That.
There was definitely
of course
a
there
fear
was.
There
was a fear. But I mean,
watching this,
your reader has
here.
A very, very good point. He could have done so much more.
He could have done wonders for the.
I think he really could have. But like he said, it doesn't care anymore. Who cares now?
Cares.
Now you just like, eh, really, you know.
And that's why we're mentioning it, because does it matter? Does it not matter? We'll venture off of a Barry.
Sorry.
No, it's good. It's good stuff. I mean, I had his greatest hits 8-track version.
I had his greatest hits on the vinyl.
That's going back a while.
Yeah.
So just kind of fun stuff to think about.
I like his music.
Of course. Who doesn't? It's American
music.
Well,
you know, Dan doesn't. But you know what
I
think, Dan?
That
if you sat down and
I like Coco Cabana. That's good.
Yeah, it's poppy, isn't it?
I'll listen to that.
It's catchy. It's very Studio 54, you know?
What is that? You listen to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan in the studio. Thanks for tuning in. Yeah, we're going to talk in a few minutes about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Rahe Poker. Rocky Horror Picture Show. But I also want to make a mention of a couple other things on my mind that I haven't got around to talking about the
What's
last week
What's on your mind?
Two.
Talk
well,
to us.
You know, I ask questions sometimes on social media to a lot of my followers just for fun. It takes the monotony away, I think, of writing about newspaper columns or the heavy issues that I really love talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love talking about heavy issues. I just kind of naturally gravitate toward those. So once in a while, I'll ask just kind of a silly, meaningless questions on social media and have fun. Try to guess it.
Sure.
For example, a recent one. Shaquille O'Neal is the NBA is in the NBA Hall of Fame, but making free throws obviously wasn't his thing, right? So how many free throws would you guess he missed during his entire NBA career? I asked this last week to social media followers. So I routinely ask these questions, and then during the day, dozens or more will comment. And they kind of, but lately, a lot of people who are commenting on these silly questions will just look up the answer.
Yeah, that's not
They
cool.
will Google it or whatever on search engine.
Look at me, I know the answer.
And they'll put it in, and they'll put, well, I knew that already.
No, you didn't know
how many free throws. That's why I put this question in particular. I knew nobody would really know. Not really. So I made it kind of a joke, and it reminds me of the days when someone would obtain, let's say, a book on sports trivia maybe, or presidential history, or ancient philosophy, and others would try to guess answers to their questions. Mm-hmm. Remember back in the day? It would test your knowledge, and it maybe prompt a conversation. But then, boom, the internet came into our lives.
Yeah.
And once the internet came into our lives, then so did Google.
Everybody's a click
and search engine. Yes, mm-hmm. We're a click of a mouse away or a smartphone away. We're all instant experts about everything.
Yes, mm-hmm. we are.
And that takes the fun out of kind of guessing.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, I'm writing a column on this. It's going to run, I think, on Sunday or Monday. And I was kind of saying, what happened to our critical thinking in our lives? What happened to just guessing? What happened to being wrong? And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, on these days, anything you want to know, you could find in a heartbeat. And Karen and I do. We'll be driving along.
Yes.
We'll go, hey, remember that song or movie or phrase or quote? And boom, within 5-10 seconds, we've got it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make us any smarter. It just makes us faster to Google something.
Mm-hmm.
So my point was we merely became smart enough to look up answers, and we did it with such ease that we kind of think that we're getting more intelligent with each click, but we're really not. We're getting more intelligent.
I remember when I was still in high school, it was still a thing to, instead of using Google, to actually look in like an index in the library
for an
encyclopedia.
In the card catalog?
Yeah.
Card
what is the point? No one does that anymore. I wonder if they still even have that.
The Dewey Decimal System and all that.
I don't even think they make encyclopedias anymore. There's literally no point. They probably teach kids just, hey, Google it.
Yeah.
And boom, there it is.
Right.
There it is.
So I think the downside of that is we're kind of losing our critical thinking skills.
Sure.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
We're not thinking through problems. We're not trying to take guesses. And we always want to be right because we all can be right.
I don't know how to spell anymore.
For example,
for instance.
Or remembering somebody's number. If you quiz me on some, like my kids' numbers, I have to really think.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know my kids' numbers by heart, which is so bad.
So that's kind of the point of the column. And my proof and point was when I asked these social media readers to guess how many free throws Shaq missed in his NBA career, several of them didn't guess at all. They just Googled it. Either it was out of habit or maybe out of pride or efficiency. And this isn't the first time that happened, of course. It's happened with other questions. It wasn't just about Shaq, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always about being correct. It's about correctly using our critical thinking skills or maybe just our funny bone, just to have some fun with things. So some of the answers to this, one reader guessed 500 free throws he missed. I go, okay, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Another reader guessed, good guess, 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good guess. Mm-hmm. I figured my guess would be between 500 and 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
But one reader happened to be Tom Maloney from the station.
Yeah, VP of Radio Operations.
Yeah, right. He was part of this, and he jumped in. He conducted a quick napkin math, as he called it, which I loved. You know, you just get a napkin. You know, you put some stuff down real fast on paper. And he wrote, 15 years, he's figuring, 82 games roughly a season, and at least 5 free-throw attempts per game, puts it at roughly maybe 6,100 free-throw attempts Shaq made.
Wow.
Then he was terrible, so he knew that, so he's assuming he made less than 50%, which is probably right. So he guessed 3,500 plus misses.
Oh, okay.
That's
a very good guess.
He was wrong. You know, he was way wrong. But it's still, the method was right. It was really right. And
I
was giving him credit in my column for that because he kind of he was a winner by answering it at least correctly, even though he was wrong. So I'm writing about this saying, come on, people, you don't have to always find the right answer. Just, you know, have some fun. Use your critical thinking skills. And the correct answer, you don't have to look. If you guys are already driving, don't pull over. Don't try to look it up.
We have a caller with a question here. Can we get, hello, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
What was your question?
It said in the paper that Mayor McDermott had a call-in radio show on Fridays at noon on 89.3, but when I go to that station on the radio, I get nothing. There's no broadcasting.
Really, I believe that's the different station.
This is 89. Paper got it wrong.
This is 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And he was on this show last week.
Yes, he was. Yes. Yeah. So either you're late for a week or you're early for the station. I'm not sure which it might be. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. But he does a different radio station in the region. He has his own show, mm-hmm. I believe. It's on JLB.
And that's on Friday morning.
It's on Friday morning. So either way.
Thank you for your call.
Sorry, you missed it.
Hammond Times saying it was this Friday on 89.3 at noon. So I'm just telling you what the newspaper said.
Well, that has a misprint.
Well, that explains it because it was in the Times. It wasn't in the
Post.
Sorry, you missed Tom. We'll tell him you called about him, though, okay?
Can you tell me when the next time I would be able to call on a show?
Oh, no, I can't really tell you that. You should maybe contact the Times, I'm guessing.
Really plausible, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for your call.
Sorry, sir. Take care. All right.
Sorry to sidetrack you.
That's like a day late.
Interesting.
Dollar short.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was an interesting call.
Is that true? Like somebody actually put it in the Times? And that wrong?
Apparently.
Wrong time. Wrong time, wrong station, wrong guest.
I don't
think
that is a station either in the region here. That's funny.
Somebody's going to get reprimanded. That's not right.
Oh, well. What was I finishing on? Oh, the Shaq thing.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. Yeah. Did I mention how many free throws he had? 5,317.
Missed.
Did anybody come close in terms of even like their guesses that weren't just, hey,
no,
looking
at it? Nobody would think it'd be that bad.
Yeah.
So that was the big joke on that. So you don't have to look it up. There it is. And that's kind of my rant that's going to run to the Post Tribune in a couple days about people. Just, it's okay to be wrong, right?
Yeah, it is.
We could be wrong. You could be wrong. We're all wrong sometimes.
You don't have to be a big old know it all.
Exactly.
Nobody likes that.
Nobody likes that.
Really? Nobody does.
Nobody likes that. So you're listening to Casual Fridays, folks. We appreciate you tuning in. Tell you what, let's take a short break here. When we come back, we are going to hopefully talk about the Rocky Horror Picture Show playing at the Art Theater coming back this weekend. We hope to be there in attendance. We hope you will, too. And if you have memories about it, feel free to call in. 769-9577. We'll be right back.
Did you know you can name Lakeshore Public Radio as a beneficiary in your insurance policy or IRA? You may receive additional financial benefits as well. For more information on creating this kind of legacy gift, talk with your financial advisor or call Wendy Burbridge at Lakeshore Public Radio, 219-756-5656. Thank you.
Whether the day's news is happening in your backyard or across the globe, you depend on NPR News to bring you the latest.
At Kuala Lumpur International Airport, something caused his sudden death.
The two front runners in the French presidential race were both
pro-Russian. Japan's prime minister called the missile launch absolutely intolerable.
For news of the new administration's first 100 days and more, listen every day.
Right here to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
You're listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davich and Karen Walker. Be here every Friday.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Our show in the Lakeshore is reported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage where it matters most.
Wow, if you missed any part of today's show so far, you could do the time warp and listen to it at 7 o'clock this evening. Or check it out online, lakeshorepublicradio.org.
Oh, sugar.
Losing part of our phone. Karen's doing the time warp in the studio. We're kind of losing some of the studio equipment.
I'm so sorry.
It's like, who doesn't know the song?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's an iconic song.
Even if you have not seen the movie, has not seen the whole movie.
I have not seen the whole movie, no.
So welcome back to Casual Fridays, folks. Yes, this is the time warp song from Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I first saw in the late 70s.
God, wow.
Am I dating myself there? Yeah. Karen was probably a toddler. Dan wasn't born yet, but I was watching this.
Late 70s, I was a kid.
Okay, you're a kid.
I was not born.
No, you were not.
So yeah, the Rocky Horror is coming back, of course, again. It's playing at the Art Theater here in Hobart. We all love the art, and we invited the manager of the art on today's show. John Davey, welcome to Casual Fridays.
Hi, how you doing, man?
We're doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I'm getting ready for the show tomorrow.
That's right, getting ready for the show tomorrow. So we know Rocky Horror has played there before. How long has it played at the Art Theater?
It's been there for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
Years.
And how many nights a week? I mean, how many... How many showings of the Rocky Horror Picture Show at the Art?
Well, like, we do it every Saturday night.
Wow. Every Saturday night for like a summer or just...
No. Continuously through the year.
Get out. And how are the crowds every Saturday night?
The crowds, they go up and down. Depends on the season and, you know, whatnot. Mm-hmm. We get regular people who come for a while and then they stop coming and we get a new group in.
Okay.
I think that's the fascination I have, John, is that the new group's coming in. It's a generational cult classic. It's not just my generation. I'm in my 50s. Karen's in her 40s. Dan's in his late 20s?
Yeah, 29.
29, yeah. So almost 30s. But it's every generation still has this affinity or fascination with a movie that's really quite campy, quite cultish, quite funny, quite weird, depending on the age group you see it in. I remember I saw it, I was a late teen, I'm thinking, and I saw it at the Dunes Theater, the cinema in Miller on Route 20, which is now gone. It's raised, it looks horrible. But that's when I first started seeing this movie, and I saw it over and over and over these midnight showings, usually because I had too much time in my hands. And I find out most of the fans who do watch this over and over, they have a lot of time in their hands because you can afford to do that. So what fans are attending Rocky Horror these days, John? Same kind of fans? Same kind of age group?
Usually it's high school kids to college kids. That's mainly what it is. Mm-hmm. Usually because of the area we're in, once they turn 21, they find the bars and quit coming. But
oh, that's too bad.
How old are you, John?
I am 45.
So you've been watching this for quite a long time also, I'm guessing.
Yeah, actually, I saw it around the same time you did. I saw it for the first time at the
Crossroads.
What was it? In Valpo.
Oh, the county seat?
County seat, yeah. That's where I saw it for the first time.
Wow, I didn't know it played out there in the rural parts also. I thought it was more of a...
Well, in the 80s, all those cinemas were owned by General Cinema, and they toured Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
Yeah, they toured Rocky Horror around.
So what character do you play? I mean, dress up as, I should say.
I don't perform anymore. I'm actually, I lead the cast that performs these days. But I started as an Eddie.
And Eddie, that was Meatloaf's character, right?
Yeah, Meatloaf's character, yeah. Like,
so when you said that you have a cast, what do you mean by that? I mean, you actually have paid performers that kind of go along with the movie, or they're just people that randomly want to get up on stage and perform?
We are not paid. We're all volunteer, but it's a cast of people, and we perform the film in front of the film while it's on the screen. We replicate the costumes, learn all the moves, choreography, and mirror the film in front of the screen.
And that used to go on also back in the day when I saw it back in the late 70s and early 80s. I mean, people would dress up, you would do the film in front of the film, mm-hmm. and other audience members who weren't as bold would be in their seats throwing rice and toilet
toast.
Paper and toast and other things at the screen. Does that still take place, John?
Oh, yeah, all of that takes place. That was a tradition that started in the 70s and has just built as the film has kept rolling along.
So should we bring...
go ahead.
Should we bring toast tomorrow?
Great question.
Yeah, you can bring whatever you... not whatever you want. Don't bring whatever you want. I've seen some nasty things brought into theaters.
Oh, we don't want
theaters.
That. No, we'll bring in toast.
We'll bring in thematic-related things to
toast.
The movie, of course.
Yeah. Toast.
Rice,
yeah.
Toilet paper.
White or wheat bread?
Well... No.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. So let me ask you, because I have not seen the movie in its entirety. I have seen like certain scenes off and on. Of course, the time warp scene. Everybody knows that scene. But tell me, just between you and me, okay, the guy in the little gold Speedo, who is he and what is he in relation to the movie? What's his story? The little guy, the blonde guy.
His name is actually Rocky Horror. He's not the main character, believe it or not, but mm-hmm. the movie is named after him. He is a creation of the transvestite scientist Frankenfurt.
Duh, Karen.
Sorry. I did not know that.
And I thought he was like the early Pulp Fiction gimp character. I thought he was a precursor for that all this time. So,
doesn't Susan Sarandon's character kind of hook up with him?
Yes,
okay.
She does.
And then Frankenfurter kind of hooks up with Barry Bostick.
Doesn't everybody hook up with everybody eventually?
Frankenfurter hooks up with everybody.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's Tim Curry. Come on.
Of course. I know that, yes. So, but I didn't know. See, I like I said, only saw like little bits and pieces of the movie. So, but thank you. I didn't know who that guy was.
So, John, you still you still enjoy the movie after all these years?
Me? Yeah, I love the movie. I am... I've been a fanatic of the film since I saw it. And you know what? Well, you know what's interesting? A lot of people who do Rocky Horror, or not, I wouldn't say a lot, but quite a few, I guess, actually aren't fans of the film. They enjoy the social aspect of Rocky Horror.
I see.
Being able to be in a group of, because Rocky Horror attracts, you know, outsiders,
yes,
misfits. And other misfits find this group of people, and that's why they do Rocky Horror.
That's a good
point,
John.
And then there's people like me. What?
That's a good point, John. You're right.
And then there's people like me who I'm just a fan of the film, and I'm interested in seeing it continue. I'm interested in being part of its legacy and helping it to thrive for another 40 years.
Wow.
How does the film stack up, John, as a film without the cult classic following and the phenomenon that trails after it? I mean, did it get decent reviews when it came out, or did it bomb? Do you know?
No, the film pretty much bombed when it came out for a lot of different reasons. It was too weird for mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Fans of the stage show it was based on thought it was it wasn't a great representation of the stage show, although I would disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
It bombed. It needed to find its audience, and that's what happened. It bombed in initial release on, you know, in regular movie theaters,
mm-hmm,
and then 20th Century Fox put it on the midnight circuit, because midnight films were a huge thing in the 70s and 80s.
Yes.
Put it in the midnight circuit, and that's where it found its audience. And it just blew up out of nowhere. Everything that happened around Rocky Horror was initially organic. All the audience participation, mm-hmm, all that were from fans who loved this movie and were going every weekend. And were going every weekend just to see the movie before all the other stuff started happening.
Because misfits and outsiders love the midnight hour. That's for sure. You know? Well, you don't want to come at 5 o'clock in a matinee like that. You know?
That's just not cool.
I feel like that should be a song.
What's that?
Misfits and
Midnight Hour?
Yeah.
Misfits in the Midnight Hour.
Yeah.
You could write it, Dan.
Bonzo
Turks.
I'm doing it.
So what other kind of props do people bring besides toast?
All the props, they correlate with something that's going on in the film. The big ones are rice. During the first scene of the film, there's a wedding scene where all the people on screen throw rice.
Uh-huh.
The audience throws rice.
Uh-huh.
Squirt guns. During a rainstorm, everyone squirts each other.
That's so
There's
funny.
There's toast. Someone from, what's that?
I said that's so funny.
Yeah, it really is. I've always thought it was clever.
So when the movie's over, does everyone just like stick around and help clean out the theater?
No, it depends on...
They should, darn it. See, that's my way of thinking. Like, this is leaving a big old mess, you know?
How old are you, Karen?
I know.
No, that's why they pay to get in, so someone else has to clean it up.
That makes sense.
We get to come in and mess up a movie theater and go home.
That's the beauty of it.
So, John, how long? The movie starts at 11:30 officially? Is that right?
What we call the pre-show starts at 11:30, which we have an MC who does, we have some rules, you know, announcements and whatnot.
Oh, okay.
And the initiation of what we refer to as virgins, which are people who have never seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show in
Karen,
a theater.
That'll be you.
What does that entail?
Karen Walker loses virginity tomorrow night at the Art.
What does that mean, though?
You'll have to find out. We don't talk about that.
We just
let people find out.
Nobody touches me, right? I don't want anybody touching me.
Not unless you want to be.
Okay. Because if we bring my daughter, she's like a virgin too. She is.
We're not into doing anything to anyone that doesn't
want. Nothing sacrificial here. Okay. It's all fun and games, Karen.
I don't know.
So the pre movie thing starts at 11:30. The movie cranks up when, roughly, John?
The movie roughly cranks up midnight, 12:15, depends on how long the pre show goes.
Okay, and then how long does the movie last?
The movie is an hour and 45 minutes.
Wow, interesting. And mm-hmm, this has been going on now for 40 years, give or take, right? Mm-hmm. Almost 40, I believe.
Wow. We are in our 41st year. It came out in 1975.
75?
No kidding.
Oh, I didn't know it was that old.
Wild.
That is crazy. So I'm glad to see that Rocky Horror is still playing. I really am. I mean, it's not because of the movie. It's because of the following, and it's the fun that has that, and because it's generational. You could take it to your kids, and your kids can watch it, and then they could watch it, and that kind of thing. And pass
well, you're
it
kind
down.
Of making it sound like a family film.
No, it's not family friendly. Yeah, right. It's
friendly.
It does have a really huge cult following, though.
Oh yes, it does.
That sticks with it. So mm-hmm. I'm sure that'll continue for many, many years.
So John, what do our listeners need to know if they want to attend the movie? It's every Saturday night at the Art there in downtown Hobart. What's the cost?
$8.
Just in case everybody's curious about the cost, that's not bad.
That's really good.
And they could show up if they want at 11:30 for the pre-show. Can they show up if they wanted to just at midnight or 12:15 if they want to just get to the movie itself?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, sounds good.
Is it? It's every Saturday? Every
They can show up in costume if they want to.
Yeah, that's too also. Yeah, every Saturday night at the Art. Is any other theater in the region playing the movie at midnight shows or anymore? Or just the Art?
No, not in the region. All the other closest to us are up in Chicago, or the suburbs of Chicago.
That's what I thought, because it used to be Crossroads Cinema in Merrillville played it for quite a long time, but not anymore, of course.
I actually started the cast that turned into the cast that was at the Crossroads.
I'm kidding.
You are old school, nope. John.
Yep. It's interesting. Is to my knowledge, before we started a cast, which we started our first cast in 1992 at the Lowe's Cinema in Merrillville, before we started our cast, we're not aware of any other Rocky Horror screening that had a shadow cast before that. All of them were just the film.
I see.
And they were piled.
Really?
So it's kind of, it's grown. It's evolving.
Well, we will be there with toast, rice, and squirt guns.
Yeah, and toothpicks for our eyes if we need it to keep us awake.
Right? Yeah.
We can't wait to have you there.
Sounds good. All right, John Davey, manager.
Thank you
of Art,
so much.
We appreciate you being on the show. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All right.
Take care.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, there you go.
So you guys been to the movie. What did they do with the virgins, huh?
I don't remember that. Do you remember
that? I've actually never seen it at the movie theater. I've seen it on VHS back in the day.
So we don't know exactly, do we?
We'll find out. You'll have to reveal what happens next week.
All right.
You can tell Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson.
I'm sure she'd want to know.
Yeah. Do you think we'd get Sarah up on the stage as a virgin?
I don't know.
That didn't sound good at all, but okay. As a Rocky Horror version.
Rocky Horror version, right.
We will find out. We'll tell our listeners
probably just
how
throw
it goes.
Toast at you or
something. Oh, I can deal with that. I just don't want to know I touch it.
No, nobody's touching it at all. You listen to Casual Fridays here on this beautiful Casual Friday
it's
in
a
the region.
Beautiful
with
casual
weather getting
Friday.
Better for all of us. Tell you what, we're going to take a short break here, just a quick minute or two break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a column that I wrote called I Can't Beat It. It's from the movie Manchester by the Sea. And also, LGBTQ is back in the news. I'll tell you why. And also, so is Charles Barkley. Stay tuned, folks. Be right back.
Did you know you can name Lakeshore Public Radio as a beneficiary in your insurance policy or IRA? You may receive additional financial benefits as well. For more information on creating this kind of legacy gift, talk with your financial advisor or call Wendy Burbridge at Lakeshore Public Radio, 219-756-5656. Thank you.
Whether the day's news is happening in your backyard or across the globe, you depend on NPR News to bring you the latest.
At Kuala Lumpur International Airport, something caused his sudden death.
The two front runners in the French presidential race were both
pro-Russian. Japan's prime minister called the missile launch absolutely intolerable.
For news of the new administration's first 100 days and more, listen every day.
Right here to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Hey there, this is Rupert Bonham, your Libertarian candidate for governor of Indiana. As your favorite survivor, I'm telling you that I'd never vote Jerry Davids off, but that Karen Walker, she'd be the first one to go. You're listening to Casual Fridays on the Lakeshore. Yeah!
Welcome back to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Our show on the Lakeshore is supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
Yep, if you missed any part of today's show, of course, it's going to be re-aired when? Re-aired 7 o'clock
7 o'clock
tonight.
On Lakeshore Public Radio.
Radio.org. So you never kind of miss
how did
shows.
We get Rupert Bonham to do that
He was going
ID?
Through
was
he, a... He was a guest on the show.
Was he in studio? Because I don't remember that.
I don't remember that, if he was in. I think he was in, because he was doing a tour to be governor, and he went up the region, and I shadowed him for 2 or 3 hours while he was here, and that's when I met him, and I thought this is a funny, colorful guy. He has no chance to be in the governor's office at all.
Yeah.
But he was so fun, and he was happy to be on our show and happy to give that plug. So we love when people come around our region, whatever that may be, Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana, the South Shore, the Casual Coast, take your pick, and we'll just grab them. We're like those frogs with the long tongues, and they'll just... You know, to a little ant by, and they're going. Next thing you know, they're on our show, and they don't know.
Yeah, we try to do that.
And what are we doing here? And they go, "Well, thanks for being here.
Thanks for coming.
You stepped in our, trap. You know, splendid, splendid.
Now you must talk to us."
So we've had like the Bill Curtises of the world and
Bob Saget.
But these people,
he was one that came and we stuck our tongue right on.
These people you wouldn't think would be on our show,
but they've been. You know, I have to say that all our guests. Have been nothing but gracious.
Yes.
Everyone
surprisingly
that we've interviewed
so. It's amazing.
Has been just wonderful.
Well, and I don't think they probably, I think they get the vibe, or they know ahead of time that we're not here to offend them or to be part of our shock jock kind of mentality with slapping around, make fun of them. We don't call them in the morning and wake them up.
No,
you know, that's
like
the kind
that.
Of stuff. It's all good. And we're genuine questions. Mm-hmm. A couple of things I want to make a mention of. There's a new style note in the AP book that I got recently from the Chicago Tribune, and it says LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. The new style note is in from now on, when we write that term in a story or a column, we could do it on first reference. We don't have to explain what it is anymore.
Oh.
Lesbian, gay, bi, trans, questioning, queer, whatever it might be. We could just put LGBTQ. And I thought that was a small little show of improvement or understanding or tolerance in our country that people may at least know what that means anymore.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So it's a small little gradual thing. I wrote about it, and I'm going to make a mention of it in a future column, too, because I think
it's
a small thing, but it's a big thing. And I want to make a mention that it caught my attention that, wow, really, first reference from now on, because I always had to write that out, and then on second or third reference, you use the acronym. Mm-hmm. So I'll make a mention of that. And also, all last month in the month of March, when I shopped at Town and Country markets, like in Porter County or Strax, you could round up at the cash register. It says round up, and your donation goes to maybe Opportunity Enterprises. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what it was at the time, where the money went. So it's when you go and you cash out. Would you like to round up your final dollar bill to like $41, sir? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, whatever. It's like 22 cents. You just don't think. You didn't care.
Yeah.
So I did that all the time. And then eventually I asked one of the people, "Where's this money going? I just never really paid attention to who's the charity?" And they said Opportunity Enterprises. And I go, "Oh, that's interesting." So then I contacted, this is the journalist in me now, or maybe just the skeptic. Well, let me see where this money's going.
Right.
I mean, I don't mind you taking my 21 cents every time I come here, whatever it might be, but where's the money going eventually? So I contacted Opportunity Enterprises in Valpo. It's a great facility for developmentally disabled and people who have special needs and all that. We've been there several times. I've written about it several times, but I wanted to see how much money this Roundup campaign made. So the Becky is the spokeswoman for the company, organization. She got back at me. And in the month of March, they took in almost $14,000.
Oh, wow. That's
a lot of 21
great.
Cents.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
really good. You know that for many, many, many years, Opportunity Enterprises had a running team for the Chicago Marathon, and that was their biggest fundraiser.
Really?
But they don't do that anymore. I found that out over the weekend that because it was a lot of money. They asked their runners back in the day, you had to raise at least $300. Mm-hmm. And that's doable.
Is that what we did? And we ran the marathon?
Our minimum was $300.
Oh, I don't remember that. Okay.
And anything over than that would have been great. But you have to raise some money. But then I don't know if it was the Chicago Marathon's rules or OE's rules, but they changed it. And if you ran for the OE team, you had to raise a minimum of $1,500. That's lot of money.
Yeah, that's pretty
That's pretty normal for some of those big charities at the marathon. So they decided, well, we can't do the Chicago Marathon. We'll sponsor runners in the Monumental Marathon, which is Indianapolis. But that wound up being the same thing. They needed $1,500 per runner. So the running the people that signed up to run for OE was just dwindling and dwindling until I found out just recently that they don't do it anymore.
Oh, really?
So I'm thinking this is maybe they have a new fundraising, which is this rounding up.
Much easier than running 26 miles.
Yeah,
to round up
and
my bill.
Give 21 cents versus having to raise $1,500
and run a marathon.
Ask your
friends and family to raise, you know, can you give me $50 to run 26 miles? Mm-hmm. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that's
maybe it's why.
That was whoever thought of that was a very good idea.
Yeah. They're having an event on June 8th. It's a breakfast to champion and recognize some of the clients there, mm-hmm. and they asked me to MC this event on June 8th. So I'll be doing that. I'll be writing about it in a couple months then. So we'll let you know more about OE and the good work they do. Mm-hmm. But that's where your money is going, folks. If you've been giving money and rounding up, you didn't know where it's really going.
Is it going to some big conglomerate that the charity is only really going to get a quarter?
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But no, this
for process and handling.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, right. But this is all going to a good cause, and it's going straight to the
programs,
the company.
And the good programs. Mm-hmm. They serve. So there you go. So it's a good cause. That's why I want to make a mention.
So if somebody asks you, yes, you do want to round up.
That's right. And you are contributing.
Yes, you are.
You're being a part of the community.
So don't be a jerk and say no.
There you go. These are little tidbits I usually put on social media, sometimes in my column. We don't say them on Casual Fridays too often because I book so many guests on the show. I mean, and I'm always running out of time. So I'm glad we can kind of do these today.
Yeah, just kind of chit-chat, you know.
We're just talking today.
We're just talking.
It's better.
It's cool.
It's a nice break. Usually I'm hectic and trying
know.
To squeeze in a lot of guests. So sorry about that. Hey, I stumbled over a column yesterday that I thought made me laugh out loud, which I really do. It's a column that I wrote back in, I think, 2008, in April or maybe March of 2008. And I'm bringing it up on today's show because I'm going to kind of bust the chops of Karen here. Because this is before we even knew each other.
Yeah, it's BK.
And, right, exactly. And the headline of my column was, "Don't go all Mayberry when Hollywood comes courting." Don't go all Mayberry when Hollywood comes courting. And let me read part of it, see if you guys know what I'm talking about. "Please don't do it. Don't embarrass the rest of us. Please don't go all Mayberry on us again when Hollywood comes courting soon to begin shooting Public Enemies." As if you didn't know already, the film stars Johnny Depp as John Dillinger, and shooting is expected to take place over the next few months in Crown Point, as well as other possible Northwest Indiana locales.
Uh-huh.
Yet already, the Post-Tribune is getting calls from local fans, psycho fans, and wannabes for more details.
Uh-huh.
When's Johnny coming here? Uh-huh. Where do I sign up to be an extra? When is Johnny coming? How's Johnny? Where's Johnny? How can I get discovered? Now Johnny will discover me.
Uh-huh.
And I went, oh my God. So I wrote, please, 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 people, don't turn into Gomer Goober and Floyd the Barber and let this become another Mayberry Goes Hollywood. If you recall, that's exactly what happened on the Andy Griffith Show, season 1, episode 13, which aired in 1961, by the way, when Hollywood producers planned to use the quaint little town as a set design for the movie. And if you recall, the townspeople there went nuts, just like we were going to do. I was afraid back when Joni's coming here. So that's when Mayberry local yokels began sporting three-piece suits and the stores began offering Cary Grant haircuts.
Oh, boy.
The mayor jumped on the Hollywood hype bandwagon, and even the ever-prudish Aunt Bee got starstruck, hoping Rock Hudson would come to town and see her. That's also when the ever-prudent Sheriff Taylor warned everyone, in his town home drawl, of course, "Ain't we picking our peaches before they're fuzzed up good?"
Oh, that's a great line.
Yeah.
Sure, they're fuzzed up good.
So I wrote, Andy's right, of course, and we should heed his folksy warning nearly a half century later. Since the Public Enemies film shoot was announced, even I've been asked for details about its film schedule, its casting call, and its need for local extras, and I could care less about the movie or the whole darn thing. I didn't care at all. I wanted no part of this thing. I just thought it was so jokey. The reason I brought this up, and there's more to the column, is that because Karen, on the flip side of this, she was one of those people that got so excited. I found this out.
I was a Gomer and a Goober.
Yeah. I found this out after we met, and she brought up Public Enemies and a real like claim of triumph that she went there and she actually saw him coming out during.
Yeah, I was probably maybe 5,000 feet away.
So you're close.
And I saw him coming out of his trailer. His trailer was parked in the Super Bowl parking lot in Crown Point. And I remember he was in costume, and I was standing there with hundreds and hundreds of other people. It was also spring break for Crown Point School, so there was lot of very foul-mouthed kids. And, he waved over to us, and we were all waiting for him to come back. He never did. But, yeah, I was there all the time. And my brother, who was way worse than me, he actually had his little camcorder and was shooting through a bush until a director saw him.
Oh, that's
told him to Mitch? Leave. Mitch.
Mitch Barloga.
And I'll never, this was a true story.
That's funny. I was writing about you guys.
It was a Tuesday night, and Mitch called me and he says, "Hey, Karen, we're going to go see the shooting tonight. Johnny Depp is supposed to come out and shake hands with everybody." And I was already home from work, like, "Nah, I'm not going to go." They said that the other night. I'm going to go tomorrow. No, you got to come tonight. "Oh, no, I'm going to stay home." Sure enough, Johnny Depp came out and shook hands, and there's a picture of Mitch shaking hands with Johnny Depp. And at the time, my daughter was, six? And I said, "Well, what was it like shaking hands with Johnny Depp?" He's like, "It was like shaking hands with Sarah," because he was such a small man. It was like shaking hands with a 6-year-old girl.
I didn't know he was a small.
Very small-built man.
He wasn't a Pirate of the Caribbean back then?
No, and he was like had all these scarves on and stuff. But he said, and I always tell this to Jerry, thinking like, "Have I told you this story yet?" Everyone I've talked to said that Johnny Depp was very, very nice.
There you go.
All the local yokels said he was very nice. Very and nice. I tell you something, Jerry, if we knew each other back
I would have been in that line.
You would have been in that line, yeah. And I would have bugged you to be an extra.
Yeah. Yeah, a few Post Tribune staffers were extras, mm-hmm. I believe.
And that would have been me.
And I didn't want to be any part of that whole phenomenon there. I didn't even go there to watch the people watching the movie, you know.
Yeah. I was there.
Oh, well, just fun stuff. So I happened to stumble across that comment without making a mention of it. I think you maybe you picked your peaches before they were fuzzed up good.
Well, you know, it was just fun to be there. And I took a picture of myself by Universal Studios truck, you know, and just kind of the excitement of being there and...
It was fun.
Big mm-hmm. Hollywood. And there were so many rumors flying around. Standing in a crowd, all these just rumors just flying around as you're standing there. They're saying, oh, my gosh, yeah, Universal Studios, they're going to take over the chill and they're going to renew it and,
I did
and
hear
remodel
that.
It and make yeah. it like new. Oh.
They had a lot of promises coming
mm-hmm.
in.
Oh, I'm sure. And Universal Studios came in. They had to move a bush or something. And when they had to leave town, they replanted that bush. That's all they did.
There you go, Mayberry.
And a fresh coat of paint somewhere.
That's the crazy thing about shooting films or TV shows. Those people will come in like 50 seconds, just create something, and then as soon as it's done, they're gone in like 30 minutes.
That's
and everything,
it. Everything
is
exactly
just like
the
same.
Yes. Yeah. They had to have
it's
fake
like a tornado.
Snow.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they had the snow machines going and...
So good times.
It was a good time.
So I think, you know, yeah, Karen's right. If we were together, then I probably would have been there also. But at that point, I love making fun of those people. That's what I wrote about, actually. It was
that's
fun
okay.
To
do. I don't mind.
No, of course not. That's why. It's all good fun. Either way, that was just something I stumbled over. Something I did not stumble over is we watched a movie called Manchester by the Sea, the Academy Award winner. Mm-hmm. And I purposely wanted to rent this and watch it and concentrate on it and focus on it.
That's a really good movie.
Well, you know, it's a downer. And Karen didn't like it as much as I did because I like the issues a lot better, you know, so to speak.
Sure.
I like things that are kind of dark and make you think and introspective. And this was. This is about a gentleman who's living with this guilt that he couldn't shake. Mm-hmm. And there's a point in the movie where he said, I can't beat it. And that was a revelatory kind of moment in the movie where it's really dramatic. And he's telling, I believe, his nephew that he just can't beat it. And he's talking about what he can't beat in his life, this guilt that haunted him for several years. So I'm writing a column on it. It's hopefully to run in Sunday's Post Tribune. But while watching the movie, what caught my attention is I wondered how many people in our own lives have thought or said those same four words about their own demons or their own sins or their own guilt. Too many people that I know. I mean, I could think of people. I see them in their face in my head right now. They kind of walk around. You could see they're there, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like zombies in a way. They're hollowed eyes or whatever. Yeah. So the movie's description underscores its true power, kind of like a deadly undertow beneath seemingly calm waters. The description is, a depressed uncle is asked to care for his teenage nephew after the boy's father dies. That's much too simple for this movie. There's much more going on than that. It kind of bounces from different time frame to time frame. It tells the sad story of Lee Chandler. He's a downtrodden kind of handyman who must face demons from his past, kind of against his will and also against fate, which I thought was a big part of the movie. He feels obliged to return to his hometown, take care of his nephew. It's the same hometown that he once lived at with his wife and kids during a kind of a drunken stupor in the middle of the night. He left the house to go walk to the store. To get some beer and some groceries. Before he left, he built a fire in the fireplace. And when he was gone, the fireplace spilled out, must have, and the house burned down, and he lost his kids.
Wow.
Spoiler alert, folks, if you're listening
now.
Yeah,
I didn't see the movie.
But it's okay. It's been out for a while. So it's a tragic thing to happen. He wasn't guilty of anything, criminally or legally, but just haunting guilt. He made a fatal mistake. So I found that so many of us also kind of make similar maybe mistakes. It could be different kind of mistakes that we've done in our life, and they kind of haunt us.
It stays with you. Yeah.
It stays with you. And I know people who have this happen to them, whether it's drugs or drinking, or maybe it's a misguided decision of who to share life with once upon a time. Maybe it was choosing the wrong job that once seemed so promising a few decades ago. Maybe it was being a selfish, immature parent who spent more time chasing flirts around a bar than chasing their kids around a playground. So these, and I know some of these people, I can see them, and I'm wondering if they have the same thing, I just can't beat it. They just can't beat that.
I think that's, to admit that to yourself is very cathartic, and I don't think people are even in that right frame of mind to, they'll just carry the guilt and they can't put their finger on why their life is so heavy, and that's really why, because I can't beat it or I choose not to. I choose to carry this guilt, it's my identity, it's my armor, if you will, so...
It's
they won't admit it.
won't admit it. Maybe they do, and that's what I was writing about, if people do. Because people never tell me this verbatim, those four words, but those four words resonated with me. So instead, I think they show it. They kind of live it. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their walk. You can see it in their weariness. It's as if they're always walking with an emotional limp. That's kind of what I wrote. So I said, look around your own orbit. You'll find a Lee Chandler or two who's the lead character in there, or maybe more than that. But oddly enough, even though he was walking with this emotional limp and he can't beat it, and you see it, he's just a depressed individual for obvious reasons. The film kind of slowly extracts empathy from viewers, or most of them anyways. Karen didn't have as much empathy, I think, for this for this character. And that's understandable. He's painted very dark, you know. How could you have empathy for this guy? But just as we should maybe try to extract some empathy for those troubled souls in our own circles who just can't beat down their demons, our judgments kind of get in the way of that.
Right.
But as the film also portrays at the end, the human spirit can be typically kind of tragically crushed in the flash of a moment, yet it somehow manages to limp along as so many people struggle to do in the wake of their regrets. I mean, you see, and they're still going to work. They're getting up every morning. They're doing what they have to do. So I think that whatever it may be, they keep waking up and they keep kind of straddling the line between purgatory and peace.
Sure.
And that's, I think, is fascinating about the movie. So I'm writing about that. You'll read it in Sunday's Post Tribune. If you're interested, find it on my Facebook page, my Chicago Tribune webpage. You can get depressed with me, and then you can contact me and say, what are you doing? I wrote out, actually, I heard from a reader this morning. I wrote, my column today is on grief. Right? And I'll mention that in a second, because we went to this.
Does this guy know how to party or what?
I know.
That's what the reader said. She goes, man, you're really bringing me down. I said, well, wait till maybe Monday's column, because I'm just going to rant and have some fun.
It's a piece de resistance.
I'll go back and forth with the fun. Speaking of that, I was probably the only character in the whole show. We went to this thing called, it was with Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen down in Indianapolis last month. And what was the name of it called? It's an intimate evening with Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen. Deep talk and shallow tales.
There you go.
And Andy Cohen, of course, is the Bravo TV host of all the Housewives shows. And he has a show called Watch What's Happening.
Watch What Happens Live.
Watch What's Happened Live. And he's funny and hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have Anderson Cooper, the CNN host. We all know Anderson Cooper, of course.
Sure.
And he's more serious. They did this tour. They go on across the country, a national tour. And they speak to people, a few hundred people, a few thousand people at a time. And they were in Indianapolis. And Karen wanted to go. And I said, well, let's just go down there. So we got a couple tickets. And it was a beautiful venue, and it was very fun. Anderson and Andy were joking about both them being gay and how they're different kind of gays. And Anderson's more out and promiscuous, and you know.
You mean Andy's more out?
Andy. Yeah, and Anderson's more reserved and quiet and that kind of thing. So the whole 95% of the show was fun, hilarious. We're laughing, but there's one part of the show that, of course, I grappled onto because I thought it was interesting. It was about Anderson Cooper talking about his grief, and that's what sparked today's column. Was he was talking about the grief he lost his dad when he was 10 years old, and he lost his brother when he was like 21 years old, I believe.
He saw his brother jump out of a window.
Wow.
14th floor of his mom's Gloria Vanderbilt.
Right. He comes from a very prominent
family,
right?
Blue blood.
Yeah, right. And I think what I wrote is a silver spoon and a tarnished image of grieving. So he talked about grief just for a few moments at that show, so to speak, and it really caught my attention. Everybody kind of died down.
Well, I mean, he has a very respectful career as a journalist, and you can't have an evening with Anderson Cooper rather than kind of delving into his other life.
He couldn't help it, could he?
You know, you can't, because that's his identity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his career.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even though he came off being incredibly funny and lighthearted.
Much more than I expected.
Giggled a lot, laughed a lot.
I expected to be more serious. He was not.
Yeah, but he wasn't.
Plus, he was drinking. He said that helps a lot.
Yeah, they were both drinking on stage.
They were drinking on stage, so they said that helps Anderson loosen up, because he needs to loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, but it was a great show. If it comes, you know, back again in the Midwest, it was worth the money.
That sounds great,
And something else he mentioned in that show, which I mentioned in my column today, is that he's always so serious, and he was in Baghdad on assignment. He's going all over the world, and because of all of his inner pain, he said, he wanted to find outer pain so he could match his level of inner pain. That's why he was doing all those. He's been everywhere.
Yes, he has.
That's a very interesting comment.
Yeah, I thought it was too. So these are the comments that I wrote down during the show, and I, you know, sent myself messages like, write about this someday. And I did today, finally. But he also had lighter things. When he was serving in Baghdad on assignment, one of his another dangerous missions for CNN, he got a text from Andy Cohen, and they were friends. They've been friends for quite a while. And in the text, Andy said, "Just remember, Anderson, you in danger, girl." That's what his text said. And it was about from the movie Ghost, right? Whoopi Goldberg's character said that, right? Yeah. You're in danger, girl.
To Demi Moore. You're in danger, girl.
You're in danger, girl. So, so Anderson got this text from Andy Cohn to kind of lighten the mood, of course. And it lightened also the mood at this event we saw in Indianapolis last month.
It did.
Because it was kind of heavy and serious about grief. And he mentioned
it. It was a good segue into something a little bit more lighthearted.
It
after
was.
That.
It was. And I thought, and at the time, I don't think Anderson Cooper knew what that meant. Didn't he make a joke that he didn't see the full movie of Ghost and he wasn't quite sure exactly what that meant?
That was very funny.
Just you in danger, girl.
Yeah.
That was a funny scene.
So what I write in my column, what Anderson illustrated so nicely on stage, is that you can go from grief to hilarity in a matter of moments.
Yeah. I think our show's coming to an end. But I remember you said that it's always, you walk a fine line at a funeral. You're either going to bust out laughing or bust out crying.
I feel that all the time, including my own dad's funeral going back 30 years or so. I remember that it was like part hilarity and part just somberness. You know how to act. So I want to bring that attention. Grief is part of us, but it's also right at the flip side of just being funny and loose and lighthearted. Mm-hmm. Anderson and Andy brought this to our attention really well, and I wanted to bring it to our readers and now Casual Fridays listeners also. Yeah. So I just did. Mm-hmm. So if you want to find that column, you can find it on my Chicago Tribune webpage or my Facebook page or today's Post Tribune, all that. You can read it. And my other more uplifting columns, Karen's not all dark and dreary in Davidge world.
He does.
But sometimes they do.
Very uplifting.
So we are at the end of our hour for Casual Fridays. We want to thank John Davey from the Art Theater for Rocky Horror Picture Show coming back to the theater starting tomorrow night. If you want to join it, popping around midnight.
Bring some toast.
Yeah, bring some toast and rice and toilet paper.
And I hope that guy that called in earlier finds the right station to find Mayor McDermott.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, he's not here.
He
left
gone.
The building.
He was here earlier.
Other than that, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy this beautiful weather.
Yes, get outside and have a casual Friday.
Have a casual Friday, folks. Take care.